Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center presents Doc Talk, an informative health series educating our community on the services provided at Peace Health. We will begin with our host, George Henry, after these messages.
Don't miss a beat. Peace Health can help you keep up on the latest for your heart with expert advice, advanced procedures, and comprehensive care. We have more than 50 expert cardiologists and 9 heart clinic locations throughout the Northwest to serve you. Let us put together a personalized heart care plan for you so you can enjoy all of life's incredible moments. Because focusing on your heart means you'll never miss a beat. Learn more at peacehealth.org/hearthealth.
I am a 2-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult. But with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology and mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mamma, because beating cancer is our mission.
Joining me on this edition of Doc Talk is Dr. Matthew Gust. He's a bariatric surgeon at Peace Health Sacred Heart Medical Center at Riverbend in Springfield. And Dr. Gust, good day to you.
Good day to you. Thank you for having me.
So let's first talk about, where do you originate from? What's your hometown?
I am originally from Chicago, Illinois. Pretty much spent my entire life growing up in the Illinois area, and Chicago specifically in the last 10 years especially.
Oh, great. I've got some good friends that live here now from that area. So yeah, that's a pretty nice place to be there. A little windy like it was here just a day or so ago.
Very often it's often much more cold too. So I've kind of traded snow and cold for rain, which I'm okay with.
So when you were in school, like high school, did you know that you wanted to get into medicine, or did you have a different path lined up for you?
I was really unsure when I was in high school. I went to the University of Illinois down in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois. And at that point, I kind of just said, I'll figure out what I want to do once I figure out what I want to do. So actually, my degrees are in biology as well as finance, because I didn't make a decision until later in life.
So you were someone who liked the sciences, but you also liked money.
It's a way of thinking about it.
Yeah, I could see that. So what kind of drew you to a career in medicine then? What was the final decider? Was it the classes in biology? Was it something personal that happened?
I had an opportunity when I was in college to work for a urologist who was looking to do some personal research on some of his own quality improvement measures. And part of that work was, he said, hey, do you want to come in and watch me operate some days? And so I spent the summer either behind the desk working on spreadsheets or in his operating room watching him do urologic procedures. I realized I didn't want to do urology, but I did really want to do surgery. So that kind of made the decision for me.
So what was your first experience like going into the operating room? Obviously, you hadn't had any contact with that kind of thing before. Was it just awe-inspiring, or was it kind of like scary?
It was very normal, I would say, would be the big thing for me. And it was definitely something where I'm just like, oh, this is interesting. This is something that is not just the thing that I'm used to. This is something that I actually am interested in doing. It's the problem when you go into the operating room, especially in a place where they don't teach that often, is that they treat it all like it's old hat. So I definitely got the experience of a lot of pros just going, this is just what we do. Despite the fact that they were doing, you know, complex surgery. And, you know, at the time they were at the forefront of doing robotic surgery. They definitely were just like, oh, this is just the things that we do today, Matt.
So what made you focus in on bariatric surgery as opposed to one of the many others?
When I was in medical school, I pretty much was undecided again on where I actually wanted to end up. So I looked into plastic surgery and orthopedic surgery, as well as general surgery. I eventually decided on general surgery. And when I did my residency at the University of Illinois in Chicago, we really served the underserved community of Chicago, especially on the south side, which is a population which is very health adverse at times and also very overweight. And so we made a big protocol in our program to kind of treat the bariatric population. We were a major bariatric center, and I realized that I liked these surgeries. I liked helping the patients out. I liked their response to these surgeries, and I felt like it was a good match for my personality and interest.
So you obviously had to have a certain amount of education and training in that area. What kind of things did you have to go through in order to get certified for that?
To be a bariatric surgeon, so I did have to complete my medical school, obviously, and then do a full general surgery residency. So that's 5 years of general surgery training. Nowadays, the most common reason or most common pathway to bariatric surgery is through a bariatric surgery fellowship. So I did my bariatric surgery fellowship with Dr. Valerie Halpin and Dr. Kevin Revis up in Portland at Legacy Good Samaritan, as well as Providence Portland Hospital. Spent the entire year really focusing on the bariatric procedures as well as the complications thereof, making sure that I knew how to take care of these patients because it is a very specific problem.
Did you go from there to here in Eugene, or did you go back to Chicago for a while after your residency?
Directly from there to here. My wife is also from the Midwest, and as we moved out to Portland, she realized that she much preferred being near the coast and being near the mountains than the flat plains of Illinois and Indiana. And so she kind of put it in my ear that she'd like to stay out west. And then my directors and, you know, my mentors up there at Legacy were good enough to say, hey, you know, we know some people who are looking for positions out in the Pacific Northwest, and we'll see if we can make a connection. And then I joined my current partner, Dr. Colin McCall, as his last partner was kind of on their way out. And so it was kind of a match made in heaven there in terms of connecting all the dots.
So on the bariatric surgery team at Sacred Heart Medical Center Riverbend, in broad terms, what services does Peace Health Bariatrics offer?
So at the start, we offer, you know, initial bariatric surgery, as well as, you know, what we consider surgical weight loss options for patients. And this is entering our patients into a program where we have a dedicated weight loss team to try to figure out what's the best way to help our patients lose weight. After this, we do also offer our patients long-term follow-up. I always tell my patients that I'm essentially their best friend for the rest of their lives. I really want to know anytime they have a problem, anytime they have an issue, because bariatric surgery as well as weight loss is a lifelong issue. I want to make sure that we're hitting every time that they have a problem so that I can make sure that I catch small things before they turn into big things. I have also added upper endoscopy, really kind of some of these maintenance procedures that are more common in our population. They just need to have these things done just to kind of fill things out. We do accept limited patients from other programs as patients move around. It's just that we are so busy with our own patients, trying to add more patients to the system is difficult at times. Finally, we also consider revisional surgeries. You know, a lot of people, especially from the older surgeries, are having issues down the lines that sometimes we may have to go in and do a fix on them. This is, again, by a case-by-case basis, just because a lot of times these surgeries were done so long ago that it really takes a lot of figuring to figure out exactly what the problem was.
I'm speaking with Dr. Matthew Gust. He's a bariatric surgeon at Peace Health Sacred Heart Medical Center, Riverbend in Springfield, and he's on our December edition of Doc Talk, and we'll be right back.
Don't miss a beat. Peace Health can help you keep up on the latest for your heart with expert advice, advanced procedures, and comprehensive care. We have more than 50 expert cardiologists and 9 heart clinic locations throughout the Northwest to serve you. Let us put together a personalized heart care plan for you so you can enjoy all of life's incredible moments. Because focusing on your heart means you'll never miss a beat. Learn more at peacehealth.org/hearthealth.
I am a 2-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult. But with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology and mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mamma, because beating cancer is our mission.
I'm speaking with Dr. Matthew Gust. He's a bariatric surgeon at Peace Health Sacred Heart Medical Center at Riverbend in Springfield. And Dr. Gust, lots of people try to lose weight over the years. What makes someone a good candidate for bariatric surgery?
I tell everyone who asks this question, the biggest thing that makes you a good candidate for surgery is being overweight. The biggest thing for us is we're trying to make sure that we're hitting the patients that need this. And the quick and dirty way of doing this is looking at their BMI. I know a lot of people will tell you that BMI is not the greatest way of measuring how overweight someone is, and it does have its flaws, but it's a good standard to kind of rely upon. So as long as a patient has a BMI greater than 40 or a BMI greater than 35 with some medical issues that we find related to weight, and these are things like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, of course, as well as the more less common things that you would think of, maybe polycystic ovarian disease, sleep apnea, osteoarthritis, stress incontinence. These are all factors that kind of push us towards saying that surgery is possibly an option. The biggest thing for me is that a lot of research has shown that patients, once they get a BMI greater than 40, the chance of having a sustainable, durable weight loss really drops to the single digits. It's just these patients need help. And so we're happy to offer that help to them.
Is there a psychiatric evaluation part of this process as well? A lot of people, in fact, I know someone who's was on My 600-Pound Life, and she's kind of reverted back even after having that surgery because it was all about the psychology and the psychological connection she had with food. Is that something that gets discussed before surgery becomes an option?
That is a definite discussion. I work closely with our psychologist, Dr. Lindsay King, who kind of spearheads our process here. The whole weight loss process is a multidisciplinary process from myself as a surgeon, our dietitians, and the psychologist, because it does play such an important role. We make sure that they are part of the initial evaluation. We try to figure out what a patient's food triggers are, what their coping skills are, what are the areas that they're really having difficulty in. And then Lindsay, similar to me, really make sure that she stays in touch with our patients after surgery, because you do have that drop off or recurrence of weight if you're really not paying attention to it. Weight is always going to be a lifelong problem. So we have to make sure that our psychology team is really there to help our patients as well.
When you talk to patients, is kind of helplessness part of their reason for wanting to do this? They feel like they've tried everything. They can't seem to do it on their own.
So that is probably the biggest reason. The first question I ask any patient on my initial visit with them is, we're just going to list off some weight loss methods. And I list off maybe 10, 12 methods, and almost all of our patients have tried at least 8 of them. These patients are not people who have decided on the easy solution. These patients are not patients who are trying to, you know, take the shortcut. They are people who have tried again and again to lose weight, and they have found that it's difficult, and we know it's difficult. So giving them this tool to really help them lose this weight is an important part of our mission.
Is this something that insurance covers, or do you have to be at a certain place with your BMI or your health in order for insurance to cover it?
So insurance coverage is often quite good if you do meet our requirements. Similar to what I said earlier, we're looking at a BMI requirements. Most insurances have a standard BMI requirement around 40, as well as that if you're between 35 and 40, but you have medical issues related to weight, insurances are willing to cover it. The biggest thing I tell our patients is to take a look at their insurance cards, call the number on the back, and ask if they have bariatric coverage. They will be very upfront about whether or not they have it. And more insurances are adding bariatric coverage because it saves the insurances money. And that is all insurance will care about, but that helps us get our patients the surgery that they want.
Are there several different types of bariatric surgeries, or is it just pretty much one standard procedure?
There are a multitude of bariatric surgeries. Now, the listing of bariatric surgeries throughout the years has kind of gone and, you know, ebbed and flowed in different ways. I know a lot of people have heard about the lap band. That has pretty much fallen out of favor just because it didn't work as well as we'd liked it to. The gastric bypass is the old horse, and it pretty much has been here to stay for many, many years. It's what I consider the more powerful surgery that we currently do. There is also the gastric sleeve. The gastric sleeve has become the most popular bariatric surgery in the country, with around 70% of patients opting for the gastric sleeve. Not as powerful as the gastric bypass in terms of weight loss, but it does have good weight loss results and is a little bit safer. There are a couple other procedures that my partner and I don't perform, that either because they are higher risk procedures or because we do not feel that they benefit patients as much.
When a person gets a procedure like that and they start to lose weight, what sort of changes in their body chemistry and stuff starts happening to kind of help assist it or help it along the way?
Well, the surgeries do a couple different things depending on what exactly surgery you're getting. Back in the old days, before I even started practicing medicine, they kind of looked at bariatric surgery as one of two options, either malabsorptive, essentially you're not absorbing as much nutrients from what you eat, or restrictive, you just cannot eat as much. Restrictive components, very easy to explain. Your stomach is smaller. The gastric sleeve reduces your stomach by about 80%. The gastric bypass, you end up with a stomach pouch about 40 to 50 milliliters in size. The malabsorptive, we don't see that with the gastric sleeve. We do see that with the gastric bypass in terms of just because we're rerouting your intestines, some of the food that you eat is just not being digested anymore. And so those calories are not added to your body. The new findings in the last 10 to 15 years has really been the discussion of hormonal benefits. We found that as we change your anatomy, the way that our bodies produce hormones on the inside essentially changes. And this gives our patients a little bit more success in terms of managing their diabetes, as well as the feeling of not feeling as hungry anymore, which is a really big help to our patients in terms of losing weight.
Have there been any studies on the rerouting of, you mentioned the you reroute some of it so that the intestines don't absorb it all or digest it all. Has there been any studies on whether that's a long-term dangerous thing or if it's a safe thing?
There have been many, many studies. The gastric bypass, when it was originally developed, was developed out of the old procedures surgeons were doing for cancer or for really bad ulcers. And so we have decades of data on the results of essentially this malabsorption. The overall loss is around 10% of what is digested, essentially is no longer absorbed after the gastric bypass. However, there are concerns for vitamin deficiencies. For this reason, we do keep our patients on a vitamin regimen, as well as check their vitamin levels on a pretty regular basis for the first year, and then a less frequent basis yearly after that. As long as the patients are kind of keeping on this track, we're able to kind of manage their vitamins and their nutrients in a good way so they can have the weight loss while still remaining healthy. Some of the more risky procedures that I and my partner don't perform have more intense malabsorption, and this can really lead to patients having issues with bad vitamin deficiencies, and this is one of the reasons that my partner and I don't perform those.
With the vitamin aspect of it, are there certain ways to carry the vitamins to your system? Is it mainly pill form, or because of this, do you have to do liquids to get more absorption?
So it depends on the vitamin. So at the end of the day, you still maintain a lot of intestines that are intact. So if let's say that the average person has about 30 foot of small intestines, we take about the first 10 feet away. You still have 20 feet that can be used. That said, there are different parts of our intestines and they do interact differently with different things to essentially allow you to absorb vitamins. Most of our patients are able to get by with just taking tablet or typical vitamin pills. A lot of my patients actually end up taking the Flintstone vitamins, to tell you the truth. But there are certain patients that have issues with absorption, and we want to make sure that we're giving them the best results. The thing I recommend for those patients is to take sublingual medications, medications that dissolve in the mouth or under the tongue. That bypasses the entire digestive system, and so that allows them to essentially get the full benefit of those medications.
You mentioned that there are different parts of the intestines kind of do different things. Is it sort of like an assembly line, like, you know, the way the intestines are built? Or is it just sort of a, you know, this part does this, this part does that?
An assembly line's a good way of thinking about it. The first part of your intestines, the duodenum, is really there to excrete everything that your body needs to digest its food, as well as really start the breakdown and get things moving. The second part of your intestines, the jejunum, is the main absorption portion of the intestines. That's where your body is really taking in a lot of these nutrients. And then the final part of your intestines, the ileum, plays a large role in terms of both water reabsorption as well as the immune responses that our body needs to have to really survive. With the gastric bypass, we're bypassing the duodenum. So all of that enzymes that our body is making to help digest things really just get a later start. And so because of that, everything kind of starts in the jejunum. At that point, it'll have a little bit of a delay in terms of digestion. So that helps a little bit with the malabsorption.
That sounds like a very interesting process. I'm speaking with Dr. Matthew Gust. He's a bariatric surgeon at Peace Health Sacred Heart Medical Center at Riverbend in Springfield on this edition of Doc Talk. And we'll be right back.
Don't miss a beat. Peace Health can help you keep up on the latest for your heart with expert advice, advanced procedures, and comprehensive care. We have more than 50 expert cardiologists and 9 heart clinic locations throughout the Northwest to serve you. Let us put together a personalized heart care plan for you so you can enjoy all of life's incredible moments, because focusing on your heart means you'll never miss a beat. Learn more at peacehealth.org/hearthealth.
I am a 2-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult, but with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology and mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mama, because beating cancer is our mission.
I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Matthew Gust. He's a bariatric surgeon at Peace Health Sacred Heart Medical Center at Riverbend in Springfield. And Dr. Gust, how many years has bariatric surgery been offered at Peace Health Sacred Heart Medical Center?
We are just past 15, I think going on 16 years currently.
And about how many surgeries does the team do a year?
Well, we've been had a couple down years because of COVID. The first surgery that kind of took the hit with when we had to cancel all of our elective surgeries was bariatrics, though we find it very important. It is still considered an elective surgery. And so when the hospitals had to protect themselves against the COVID surges, we definitely saw a decrease in numbers. I think the last couple of years were right around 300 cases for the combined. That said, especially with myself joining the practice, my partner and I really want to increase the number of patients that we're seeing and make sure that we're giving back to Oregon.
Oh, cool. I understand the program Riverbend is nationally accredited. What does it take to become nationally accredited?
So the biggest thing with bariatric surgery is, because of the intricacies and just the nature of it, we want to make sure that any program that performs bariatric surgery has the ability to take care of the patients afterwards. So the American Society of Metabolic and Bariatric Surgeons essentially established a accreditation board to figure out exactly what these hospitals needed and what they needed to qualify for this accreditation. We are nationally accredited at Peace Health Sacred Heart Riverbend. And what that means is that we have the full team to offer a surgical weight loss program. We have a surgeon who's available at all times to help take care of our patients, as well as any issues that our patients may have. And we have the ability to manage complications, or at least steer patients to a safe place if complications occur. My partner actually is a site reviewer for the national board, and he makes sure that we stay up to date on every single thing that's going around in the country to make sure that we are a tip-top organization.
Do television shows on weight loss, like My 600-Pound Life, I think, does that help or does that hurt the cause for people that may want to do this kind of surgery?
You know, it's the biggest thing that I think helps about them is that it normalizes the discussion. I know that I don't want everyone to think that they need to be 600 pounds to have the surgery. A majority of my patients are probably people that you saw would see on the street and would say, hey, they're a little bit more overweight than the average person, but you wouldn't think that they are considering surgery. Very rarely do we get to those 600-pound patients. That said, as I've had many a patient come in and say, hey, I saw this and I wondered if it was an option for me. And I think that's the most important thing. A lot of our patients just need to figure out that this was an option. This is something that they could do to kind of lead them to a place where they could get healthy like they wanted to.
When you're talking with a potential prospective surgical surgery process with someone, what are some of the concerns that come up that they raise? What are some of the most common questions you hear?
I mean, the biggest concerns starting at the start are really going to be, am I cheating? Is this like a shortcut? There's a lot of shame involved with obesity. And people try to keep it hidden. People say, you know, like, I didn't want to say that I was taking this shortcut. I was cheating on this process. You know, everyone says you can just lose weight with diet and exercise. But I can tell them straight up is that the chances of them having a successful weight loss with diet and exercise alone is just very, very low. It's very difficult. After that, it kind of becomes a discussion of risks. Surgery, no matter what surgery we're talking about, has inherent risks. That said, both these procedures, though I would consider them moderate risk procedures, are very, very safe. When I have a discussion with my patients, I make sure that I look at the national database, I input their characteristics, and I give them an honest risk assessment for how risky this procedure will be. And then they have to compare that against their lifelong risk of obesity, of diabetes, of high blood pressure, of things that are really going to shorten their life to kind of come to an educated decision.
So it's basically a balance of you'll have this if you don't, but you can increase your chances, your longevity, if you do.
Yes. Everything in surgery, I've always considered it is a risk-benefit ratio. And that is the biggest discussion. It's just the fact of the matter is we're messing with things that, you know, before the invention of anesthesia and the invention of surgery weren't being messed with. But we can take advantage of some things and we can try to minimize the risks to our best of our ability. And every year we're getting better at that part, which makes these procedures safer and safer.
What have you seen? Well, I want to say post-COVID, but we're really not post-COVID. But what have you seen post the height of the pandemic as far as people gaining weight or weight loss issues and stuff like that?
Well, I mean, COVID in and of itself did not lead to anyone gaining weight, but a lot of people gained weight during COVID because it often comes as a coping mechanism. You know, people were sedentary, so they weren't able to work out as much. Gyms were closed, they were gaining weight. People turned to food or fast food or quick options as they kind of tried to progress about their lives. There was a lot of changes in employment, which led to, you know, worse eating choices, which led to stress, which led to eating. So a lot of patients definitely were doing okay before COVID and then tended to kind of fall off the wagon and end up in a place where they were heavier than they'd like to be, and they put themselves in a bad position that way. And this is not even counting the fact that a lot of our patients just had difficult time getting into their physicians. Because of the COVID surge, physicians' offices were overwhelmed. I know I personally haven't even been able to set up my primary care appointment since I've moved to Eugene, just because they're so overwhelmed. So we're all working here together.
So just the fact of COVID and maybe using food as a coping mechanism, that really doesn't affect everybody or make everybody a quality patient for this surgery, because it may just have been a short-term thing, right? They weren't like dealing with this weight issues their whole life. So what about those that were in the middle of suffering for it? Has it increased the number of people that you're seeing?
I think so. It's hard to say, again, because of the fact that we had to shut down. So we had a backlog of patients who we just weren't able to help. But I definitely, when I'm talking to the patients as they're coming in, a common refrain is I gained more weight during COVID, or I was, you know, I thought I was doing well until COVID hit.
What about, I know you've probably seen a lot of success out of these surgeries. Is there a story that you could share kind of to wrap this up?
Sure. I mean, one of the bigger things that we often see is people coming in as they were referred from their orthopedic surgeons. And these are people who essentially needed a knee replacement, needed a hip replacement, and were not a candidate for orthopedic surgery just due to their weight. I remember one particular woman who essentially morbidly obese, was, you know, really wanted to play with her grandkids. But the fact of the matter is, with her hip, it was bone on bone. She really could almost barely move out of her wheelchair. And we went in there, we performed a gastric bypass on her, and then she was able to slowly lose that weight. She was able to get her hip replacement. And last time I saw her in the clinic, she brought a picture of her walking around the zoo with her grandkids. She was ecstatic. She would still had weight to lose, but she said, this is the, you know, the first step of this. And this is one of the things that she really wanted to do. And so that always makes me feel good.
I can imagine someone going from a wheelchair to be able to walk around is probably quite a feeling inside of success there. So that's pretty cool. Well, Dr. Gus, how do people get referred to you? Is it through, like you mentioned, another surgeon that's going to do a procedure, or are there other ways that people might get referred to you?
The easiest way to get referred to us is probably through your primary care office. This is a discussion that a lot of primary care doctors, again, they are very overworked, may forget to have with our patients. It's just that if you go to your primary care office and you say, hey, I'm interested in discussing bariatric surgery, they can send a referral to our office, and we're more than happy to talk to anyone, really. Our insurance checkers are available, and we make sure that everyone has the coverage that they need. We don't try to trick anyone and, you know, figure it out later. We want to make sure that we're offering them a safe surgery. We want to make sure that they're offering them a surgery that they can afford, because we do think it will help. And so usually what I say is either start with your insurance company by taking a look, giving them a call, asking for their bariatric coverage, or just go to your primary and bring it up. This is a definite thing that can help a lot of people.
Dr. Matthew Gust is a bariatric surgeon with Peace Health Sacred Heart Medical Center at River Bend in Springfield. Dr. Gust, thank you so much for spending time with me today, and a lot of great information. And I hope that someone that hears this may offer that as a solution to maybe their weight loss.
Thank you so much for having me.
You have been listening to Doc Talk, presented by Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. For more information on the program and services provided, visit peacehealth.org.